Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, the wisest of all men, taught us in his book of Koheles, very famous psukim, famous segment of that book of Koheles, and he told us, "Lakol zaman, for everything there is a time, ve'es l'chol chefetz." And there is a time, there are periods, there are cycles. And then he goes on to list. Eis lo ledes, a time for birth. Ve'eis lo mus, and a time for death. Eis lo tas, there's a time for planting. Ve'eis lo akronatua, there's a time for uprooting. And there's a time for everything, says Shlomo HaMelech, and lists 28 different times. 28 different cycles, as the Vilna Gaon explains. The Vilna Gaon explains these 28 itim, these 28 times, these 28 periods in history start with the beginning of creation, the beginning of man. Eis Laledes was when the first human being was born, namely Adam Arishon. The Eis Lamus was the time when there was a decree that human beings will not live forever. And there was a decree of death to human beings. Eis Lotas, and then he was planted, as it were, in Gan Eden. And then came the time when he was asked to leave Gan Eden. And so on and so forth. Eis Laharog, a time to kill. And this was the time when Shlomo HaMelech saw that two brothers in the world, and Cain will kill his brother Hevel. And so on and so forth. And where does it all end? We know the last two Itim, the last two times in this list of 28 is Eis Milchama v'Eis Shalom. Says the Vilna Gaon, Eis Milchama, that's going in the time of war, the war of Gog and Magog, the final war that will be fought preceding the time of Eis Shalom, where there will be peace forever, and that will be the time of Mashiach. What does that mean? Eis Milchama refers to the time of war, this last war that will be fought, this last war which Hashem already knew at the beginning of creation, at the time of Eis Laledes, when Adam Rishon was born, he knew and there was going to be a final war. But how do we know that Eis Milchama, this time of war, is referring to the war of Gog and Magog, this final war that will be fought? There were many wars fought throughout history. So the Vilna Gaon's words are explained. That's true. There have been wars fought throughout history. When one country wanted to conquer another country, or when one felt that their enemy was starting up with them, or they wanted to subdue their enemy, so there was a war between two countries. Perhaps there was a war between two people. But for a war to be so far-reaching that the fear of war is spread almost throughout the world, that's Eis Milchama. That's when we come to a time when everyone is living in fear. Everyone is involved in the war, even if it doesn't seem to pertain to them specifically or individually. But yet, the war that is being fought is not just over land. It's much deeper than that. And it's felt. And the fears of war and the fear of casualties that could happen at this war is felt by all. And that, says the Vilna Gaon, this is where he sees in these psukim that Eis Milchama, this is the final war. And this is the war that will only end one way. And that's Eis Shalom. The only way it will end is with the coming of Mashiach. And the Mashiach bringing the final peace to the world. But we know that before the Mashiach comes, there will be terrifying times. And it's what's called Chavli Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. as the mushal, as this comparison to a woman who's in labor. And as the months progress, becomes a little bit less comfortable. And then finally it comes the time for the child to be born, and the pain can be intense. And that's the comparison, the Eis Milchama, until finally a child emerges, and that's the Eis Shalom. And so too is to understand that this Eis Milchama is also going to be a time where a lot of pain and suffering will take place. And then Eis Shalom. Mashiach will come and bring the peace. There was a story with Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Right at the time of the outbreak of World War II, he was in London. And he gave various lectures in different shuls in London. And there was a lot of pressure on Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that he remain in London, where it is safe. He remain over there and not go back to Baranovich, not go back to Europe, where war was erupting. And Rabbi Chanan then was speaking in a big shul called Machzike Hadas, and he told the people as follows. He says, "You're asking me to stay here," he says, "because you think London is safe. You think it's safe over here in London. You think over here you'll be saved from the Chavlei Mashiach. You think here you could be safe from the birth pangs of Mashiach. Staying over here is a safe haven." So Rabbi Chanan said, "Let me tell you something that I heard personally from the Chafetz Chaim." The Chafetz Chaim, he said right after the end of World War I. So approximately 1918, 1919, the Chafetz Chaim told Rabbi Chanan the following. He says, "Milchamas Gogu Magog, this war of Gogu Magog, this war which is described in the understanding of the Vilna Gaon as Eis Milchama, there'll be a time where world war will permeate the world and everyone's mind, will take place in three stages." Chafetz Chaim said the first stage we just finished with, and that was World War I. That was the first war, which was called a world war, where more than just a few countries were involved. And the Chafetz Chaim said in approximately 25 years, 25 to 30 years, will be the second phase of Milchemes Gog u'Magog. Be the second phase of this Milchemes Gog u'Magog. And that, as we know, was World War II, which the Chafetz Chaim predicted. And then he said there will be a third phase, the final stage, and then in the end will come the Geula Shleim. Chafetz Chaim, however, added that in this third phase of the war, in the third stage, Yizbol Kol HaOlam Yisurei Chavlei Mashiach, the entire world will have to endure the birth pains of Mashiach. How much suffering will we have to have? Maybe it could only be the suffering of being fearful. Will I be safe? Will my family be safe? Maybe with that a person could be yotzei, could fulfill his obligation or his enduring the Chavlei Mashiach, these birth pangs. Maybe that's all it will take. Or maybe it will be terrible suffering, as we'll see to what extent it could be. But this is what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said. He says, London is no safer perhaps than Lithuania or Poland. Maybe it will take several decades before it reaches other places. But nonetheless, this is what he repeated over from the Chafetz Chaim. And as history unfolds, it should give us encouragement into the words of our sages, the words of the prophets, the Nevi'im, the words of Chazal, the sages, and really even the words of the Rishonim, the Achronim. Great sages, great Talmidei Chachamim, scholars who lived in the 14th, 15th century, who lived in the 17th century, who described the events that will happen in hundreds of years after their death, and it's unfolding now in the newspapers that we read, in the news we hear on the radio, exactly how they describe it. Who would have thought that the Abarbanel, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, who lived in Portugal and lived in Spain, that he would be able to describe, he would depict clearly with names of generals of this final war and territories that will be fought over. And he describes it clearly in a sefer that he wrote, Ma'ayinei HaYeshua. And where did he get this from? He lived in the 1400s. Where did he get that from? How did he know? How did he know there was going to be that the Muslim world will take over? Will be so powerful that people will be terrified of them. Not only in the Middle East, but even in safe America. How did he know that? He says, I'm not making this up. He says, I'm reading it in the words of the prophet. You have to read it carefully. You have to read it with the commentators. But you know exactly what's going to happen. And this he describes and he writes very precisely what's going to happen. There's a sefer I have here, a copy of that quotes an excerpt of what the Abarbanel writes. Hashem Yisbarach Yitein B'leiv Umais Edoim Lichboish Eretz Yisro Eretz Yishmael Uvefrat Eretz Hatzvi. Who would have thought that peaceful America, we don't start up with anybody. We have an army to defend ourselves, but who would have thought they would take the initiative, they would be so aggressive to start up with an Arab nation? And it happened, and it's happening. And we see what was told to us by our own sages and our own scholars is really unfolding before our eyes. I think it should give us encouragement. And if these are the leaders that we're listening to, and we take their advice of how we should lead our lives, and these are the same people who teach us right from wrong, and they teach us what the halacha tells us, what we can do, we can't do, and here Hashem allows them for their greatness and their insight and their prophetic minds to show us what is going to happen in the end of days. So let us end with the words of two different prophets. And the prophet Daniel, right at the end of his book, the last chapter of Sefer Daniel, Perek Yud Beis in Sefer Daniel, he tells us as follows. He's talking about Acharis Hayamim, he's talking about the end of days. And Daniel tells us this is what will happen in the end of days. Uba'es hahi, and at that time, Ya'amod Michael Hasar HaGadol, the great angel Michael, the great angel Michael will stand up. Some commentators understand he will stand up and be praying and pleading on behalf of the Jewish people. Rashi says actually that he will be stood up. That means he will be standing, not able to move. That the angel Michael, this powerful angel, will have to stay at bay, and he will be powerless to save the Jewish people. Ha'omen al b'nei amcha, usually he stands behind and protects your nation. However, at this time, v'haisa eis tzara, there will be terrible tzaras, terrible suffering. Asher loy niyasa, that was never miyaisgoy ad ha'esahi, that never happened to us as a nation from the time we became a nation after leaving Egypt until this time when this will happen. It's frightening, the words of Daniel. We have endured as a people terrible, terrible suffering. Hopefully we won't have to sit on the floor of Tisha B'Av and mourn and lament the suffering of the Jews throughout the ages. But if we remember from last year, we described the times of the Crusades, the times of the Cossacks, and who's even talking about the Churban Beis Hamikdash itself, of the atrocities that took place, and the millions and millions of Jewish blood that flowed throughout the streets of Yerushalayim. And in closer, more recent history, certainly is fresh in our minds. And yet, Daniel says there will be a time in the end of days that will be even worse than all of that. It's even hard to imagine. What does Daniel have to tell us? Uva'isahi, and at that time, Yimaleit Amcha, your nation will be saved. Who of your nation? Kol Hanimtza Kosov Basefer, whoever is written in the book. Whoever is written in the book will be saved. Chafetz Chaim said there would be three stages to the last and final war. Before it will be an Eis Shalem, before Mashiach will come. And Daniel is describing it in quite horrific terms, that the suffering that will take place is something that we would never had experienced up until this point in time. But yet, there's a book. If you're written into that book, then you're sure to be saved. Then it could be just enduring the fear, being frightful for oneself, for one's family. Maybe that will be sufficient in enduring the birth pains of the coming of Mashiach and being involved in the Chavlei Mashiach in this Eis Melchama, in the time of war, which will be so outspread. And perhaps that will be sufficient. Uva'esahi, at that time, Yimoleit Amcha Kol Hanimtza Kosov Basefer, Rav is written into this book. How much would one pay to get written into the book? How much would you pay to get written into this book? Where's the book? Which book is it? How do I get into the book? How much would you pay me to tell you if I tell you which book it is? Okay, just a light moment. You don't have to pay money to get into the book. Rav Sadia Gaon tells us in Daniel precisely which book we're talking about. And as frightful as the Nevuah, this prophecy of Daniel is, but Daniel left us with some comforting words. He's quite subtle about what will happen, as is clear, and Hashem tells him that in describing what will happen in the end of days, I want you to be discreet. But at the same time, he says, "Uba'esehi molet amcha," your nation, there will be those from your nation that will be saved, whoever is written in this book. Which book are we talking about? Says Rav Sadia Gaon, we're talking about a book that is talked about in a different one of the prophets. Actually, this is the last of the prophets. Before prophecy ceased to exist, Hashem did not come on a regular basis to the prophets and as those who were known prophets. The last of them was Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, which consists only of three chapters, in the final chapter, Perek Gimel, in Malachi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Malachi tells us the following. And here too, as the Chofetz Chaim explains in a different place in Chemes Hadas, the Chofetz Chaim explains that it's clear from the words of Malachi that the time period he is talking about is the time period right before the coming of Mashiach. Because the final words of the prophet Malachi are, "Hine anochi shaleach lachem," behold, I will send for you as Eliyahu HaNavi, I will send the prophet Eliyahu to announce the coming of Mashiach. So it's clear, says the Chofetz Chaim, that these words that are only a few psukim right before the telling of the coming of Eliyahu and Mashiach is referring to this time period, which is the end of days. And indeed, this is where Rav Sadia Gaon found that there's a book that's described over here and about people being written in a book. And it's this book that if we are written in it, Daniel tells us we can be saved from the Chavlei of Mashiach. So first, let us learn what Malachi has to tell us and the context in which he brings this special book into light. What is he talking about? What is he describing over here that will happen in the end of days, which then there's a book which people can be written into? Says the Navi Malachi the following. Hashem says, "Chazku alai divrechem, Amar Hashem." Hashem says that your words, my children, are very harsh. You're speaking very harshly to me, Hashem says. Hashem has a complaint. We're complaining to Him. We're speaking harshly against Him. We're asking too many questions on Hashem. But yet, instead of saying, "We're sorry, Hashem," instead of saying, "We repent," "V'amartem," and you know what you say? You know what the Jews said back when the Navi will say, "Hey, Hashem is upset at you, what you're saying about it. You're speaking too harsh against Hashem." "V'amartem," and you're going to say, "Manet barnu alecha," what did we say on you? We're going to tell Hashem, what did we say? We didn't say anything. Did we say anything bad against Hashem? God forbid, we didn't speak against Hashem. So Hashem will say, "I'll tell you what you said. Amartem, you said, Shov avoid elikim. You said it's worthless to serve God. Uma betza, and what do we gain? What do we stand to gain? Ki shomarnu mishmartai, that we're keeping his wives that were doing his mitzvahs, were keeping the Torah, were guarding the mitzvahs. What do we gain by guarding Hashem's mitzvahs? And we go submissively, humbly before Hashem, doing His will. And this is what the Jews are saying. The Jews are saying, what do we gain by keeping Hashem's Torah? What do we gain by keeping the mitzvahs? Not only that, look, we took this burden, this peccal upon ourselves, whether we had it as a tradition from previous generations or whether we came to it as something new and were informed about it. But now the Jews say, what do we gain? Look, we're such a minority. Those of us who keep the Torah, those of us who observe the mitzvahs, we're such a minority. And look at the rest of the world around us. Forget the non-Jewish world, but look at the Jewish world around us. Look how outnumbered we are by all of them. Look how many more there are of them, and they're being so successful. They seem to be living it up. They have no restrictions. They can go where they want, do what they want, say what they want. They have no restrictions. And they seem to be living quite a fine lifestyle. They seem to be not really suffering. Lightning doesn't strike them every time they do something wrong. So the Jews said, "Va'ata now, anachnu ma'ashrim zaydim." We should go praise those that are intentionally sinning against God. Seems like they were the smarter ones. Gamnibnu eisei risha. Those who do wicked have built great success for themselves. Gambochnu elikim. Have been those that even tested God. And said, let's see, if I do this, let's see what God will do. Vayimoletu. And they escaped. They went unharmed, unscathed. Nothing happened to them. So the Jews that are observing the Torah, who are indeed the minority, are looking at themselves and saying, what's it all for? What did we gain? We don't seem to be gaining much. We don't seem to be on top of everything. All these promises that the Torah says, oh, you do Hashem's will, I'll bless you and you'll be... What happened to all that? Where is all that? Not only that, I see all of my non-religious counterparts, they seem to be doing quite fine. When this happens... When this happens, the prophet Malachi says, us, then, at that time, when people will say this, and this will be the situation, then, Nidbaru Yirei Hashem, those who are God-fearing will speak with one another. Ishel Reyehu, they'll get together in pairs, they'll get together in groups. And they'll discuss this. And they'll say, what should we do about this? But before we go further in this pasuk, we have to take a step back. We have to understand something. There's something that is an obvious question. It just stands out. This is not a game. This is not a story of fiction. This is what the prophet is saying. This is what will happen. He's describing real events. Could someone explain to me how God comes to the Jewish people and it says that I don't like what you've been saying? And they say, what did we say? We didn't say anything. Manid bardo alecha. What did we say about you, God? He wouldn't speak bad about you. What did we say? And God reads them a whole list of things that they said. You said it's not worth it to serve Hashem. You said, what have we gained by keeping the Torah and observing the mitzvahs? You said it seems like don't keep the mitzvahs. They have gained more. They've been successful. They've been prosperous. as my Rebbe described in a mashal, he says, we can understand, you know, if one of the children in the classroom said something not nice about the teacher, and the teacher's back was turned, he turns around and says, who said that? Who said that not nice comment about me? And he points one kid and he says, I think you said that. Me? No, I didn't say it. Maybe the kid did say it, but the teacher doesn't know it's exactly him. So he figured he could just wiggle his way out of it. No, it wasn't me. And the teacher says, oh, maybe it was you. No, it wasn't me. No, because the teacher doesn't really know. But how could the Jewish people stand in front of Hashem and tell him, we didn't say anything? And then God says, you said this and you said that. Well, did we say it or not? I mean, if we did say it, then how do we have the audacity to say that we didn't say anything? We're trying to lie to God as if he won't know? And if we didn't say it, so then why are we guilty of saying this? So it's explained. And indeed, the God-fearing Jews living at the end of days, living in this period of Eis Milchama, the time of war in the world, keeping Hashem's mitzvahs, observing Hashem's Torah, don't come out and sit together and say, it's not worth it. Doesn't pay. But it's what they're saying inside their hearts. It's what they're showing on their faces. They're not walking around smiling. They're not walking around as feeling like the luckiest people on earth. We have Hashem's Torah. We have the ability to observe Hashem's mitzvahs. We live in a country that doesn't persecute us because we want to learn Torah. Doesn't persecute us because we want to keep mitzvahs. And we can do this freely. We should be the happiest people. And we walk around inside complaining and thinking, you know, my neighbor, he doesn't seem to keep too many of the mitzvahs. And seems to be pretty successful. Seems to be pretty happy. And Hashem says, you're looking at him or her and he or she is happy and you're not happy? Hashem says, those are harsh words against me. I consider that complaining against me. And we're jolted into reality and we say, what did we say? And Hashem says, I'll tell you what you said. This is what I consider you saying. You're saying that it hasn't been worth it. You're saying it's not worth it, the whole thing that we're keeping the mitzvahs and it's hard and the restrictions and it's expensive to keep the mitzvahs. Hashem says, you know what you better do at this point? The Navi says, you know what you better do at this time? Oz at this time. At this time. Nidbaru Yirei Hashem Ish El Re'eyu. People better get together. To be mechazik, to strengthen, to encourage, to inspire one another. Whether it's Ish El Re'eyu, one with this friend, or whether it will be in groups, or whether it will be in families, they have to get together. And they have to discuss this. What can we do? How do we make sure that we will be happy? How do we make sure that we should appreciate all of the mitzvahs we're able to do? How do we make sure that we should not look at others who seem to be wicked people and prosperous? How do we make sure that we won't be jealous of them? How do we make sure that even though it doesn't seem like we're getting this great blessing that God has promised us, nonetheless we believe we have the emunah, we have the belief and faith that Hashem will grant this to us in the right time. So we speak with one another. And those that get together, and those that speak about it, and those that honestly want to change, that Hashem shouldn't come to me and say, I know what you were thinking in your heart of hearts. Those that get together, says the Navi, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. Hashem will take heed. Vayishma, and he will listen. And he will listen to the words being discussed in that class. He will listen to the words being discussed amongst friends. And he will listen to the words being spoken to when a person is learning a sefer by himself, trying to better himself. Vayikasev, and he will be inscribed in Sefer Zikaron, in a book of remembrance. Lefanav, before Hashem himself. L'yirei Hashem, for those who are God-fearing. U'lechesh ve'shamay, and those who consider His name. V'hayuli Amar Hashem Tzavachas. Hashem says, those who get into that book, those who are written in that Sefer, which Hashem says, I will not let go unrecorded, for those people who take this seriously, and those people who join together, Ishel Re'eyu, one with his friend, who joined together in a group and discussed, what can we do to be happier? What can we do to say we do appreciate the mitzvahs that we're doing? We do appreciate the opportunity that Hashem has given us. And we will block out our minds and our eyes from those that look as if they're having success. Hashem says, those I will record in this book before me. And v'hayu li amar Hashem tzavachas, those will be for me la'yayim asher ani oiseh segula. And that book I will take out in the day while I will take a core group of the Jewish people and make them a treasure for myself. V'chamalti aleihem, and I will take pity on them. Ka'asher yachmal ish al b'nai, as a father will take pity on his son. Ha'ayved oisei, which serves him properly. And this thought of Malachi ends then when the dust settles. V'shavtem u'ri'isem, and you will be able to sit and contemplate and see to the end of the story. And those that will merit to go through that transition from Eis Melchama to Eis Shalom will see v'shavtem u'ri'isem bein tzadik l'rasha. Now you'll see. Then when Hashem will bring the peace, or even perhaps before, then when the Chavlei Mashiach and the Eis Melchama, when they intensify, when those Chavlei Mashiach and those birth pains intensify, then the truth will come out. Bein Tzadik l'Rasha, those who were indeed righteous, Bein Rasha, those who were not. Bein Obed Elokim, those who served God. Ashalo Avdalu, those who really did not serve God. So the first step is to know that no matter how terrible the events that are described in the prophets, the events that are described in Chazal and our sages, in the oral tradition, up until the Chafetz Chaim's words of what will happen, but the prophet himself gives us advice. And he tells us that there's really an escape hatch. He tells us that those who will be written in the book, whoever is written in this special book will be saved. They can be assured that they'll be saved. It's the book that when in the end of days it looks like the world is topsy-turvy. It looks like, as some people may think, that God has lost control over the world. It's those who will join together at times like that. And it will be the end of days. And they'll join together to try to strengthen and encourage one another and try to see the truth and try to internalize the teachings of thousands of years and try to understand, as the Chafetz Chaim gives a beautiful example of this. Try to understand that even though we are the minority, indeed we're the minority, those who are holding steadfast to the Torah, those who are observing the mitzvahs to the best that they can, are certainly a minority. But those have to understand, says the Chafetz Chaim, is a story that happened during the times of Elisha HaNavi, the disciple of Eliyahu HaNavi, when they were being attacked by King Aram and his army. And they surrounded the city where Elisha was. And Elisha's nar, his lad, went out to look. And he was petrified. And he came back to his master Elisha. He says, "Master, you don't know what's going on outside. We have been surrounded by these armies." The end is here. And Elisha said, "Go look again." And he prayed to Hashem to open the eyes of his lad, that he shouldn't be frightful. And the lad looked again, and he saw fiery chariots standing all around Elisha. Indeed, it was only a few of them, but yet God was on their side. And when God is on your side, it doesn't matter how many are on the other side. It doesn't matter how many the enemy has, because God provides all of the fiery chariots and all of the weapons that are necessary to win the war. So Chafetz Chaim says, even though we are going to be the minority, but to strengthen ourselves and strengthen our amunah, we have to say to ourselves, true, we may not be able to see it because we're not like the prophet Elisha. But nonetheless, we have to realize we are those who adhere to the Torah, are surrounded by the fiery chariots of Hashem Himself. And therefore, we're not the minority at all. It may look like that. And for those that are ready to say that, those that are ready to speak to one another and get in groups and talk about it and see how we can better ourselves, they will be inscribed in this book, this special book that Hashem has. Hashem says there will be a safer zikara lefanav for those that are God-fearing and those who are chesh v'ishma, those who consider Hashem's name and think about Hashem. And perhaps we should end with a practical suggestion. Because we know, we're told, again by our sages and our teachers, our scholars, throughout the ages. And this was told to and written, inscribed in the oral tradition 1500 years ago. That in the end of days, there will be two enemies that we'll have to face. And there will be times that they'll join up as a common enemy against us, and there will be a time towards the end that they'll actually fight each other. But these two enemies are Esav and Yishmael. And how do we fight the battle against Esav and Yishmael? The Torah itself tells us that there will be two enemies. The Torah in Parashas Nitzavim describes this, that you're going to have to stand up against al oyevecha va'al seine'echa. Oyev is enemy, seine is enemy. But seine refers to Esav. Esav seine li'akev. He's the arch enemy. But there will be yet another enemy. And the second enemy is described as an oyev, because that will be Yishmael, who we will suffer at the hands of Yishmael. And as a people, we will suffer at the hands of Yishmael to the point where we will say, oy, we don't have any words to describe it except for oy, and that's why it's called the oyev. How do we fight against Esav and Yishmael? The Jewish people have two names. Yaakov and Yisrael. There's a reason why we have two names, Yaakov and Yisrael. Because there are times when we have to use our power of Yaakov, and there are times we have to use our power of Yisrael. And very briefly, to explain the thought of how we use these two powers against our two enemies. Esav stems from Edom. Who were involved in the start of them, in the continuation of them, who are involved in idolatry, who don't believe in a single God, who don't believe that Hashem controls everything in the world. And that's a force we have to combat. And how do we combat that force? By declaring that indeed there is one God. By declaring that we pray to one God. And that's how we fight Esau. For those that are familiar with the pasuk, HaKol Kol Yaakov VaYadayim Yedei Esav. As long as the voice of Yaakov is heard in the shuls, in the Bati Midrashim, as long in the learning places, as long as the Kol Yaakov is heard, there are Jews still davening to Hashem, there are Jews that are learning, then Hayadayim Yid Esav, then the hands of Esav will have no power. They'll be powerless against our voice of Yaakov. But then there's another force against them. That's the force of Yishmael. And Yishmael, as Chazal tell us, he has God's name in his name. It's Yishmael. For that battle, we have to use our second name. We have to use the name that we too have Hashem's name in our name. And that's Yisrael. Yaakov won't be sufficient to fight the battle against Yishmael. The Yisrael will fight the battle against Yishmael. Yaakov is one who declares Hashem's single power and His omnipotence over the entire world. That's enough to fight Esav. But Yishmael, as we know, they also believe in monotheism. They too, as being the child of Avram Avinu and being blessed by Avram Avinu, they are not worshipping idols. Idolatry is not in their religion. They too pray. We can't fight them with prayer because they too pray more than us. So the way we have to fight them is by being Yisrael. How does one be Yisrael? There's a bracha, a blessing that we make every week, that we say every week when we exit from the holy day of Shabbos. And in the bracha Havdalah we say, Hamavdil, the one who distinguishes, the one who separates, Bein Kodesh L'chol, between that that is holy and that that is mundane. Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'chol. Bein Or L'cheshech, the one who distinguishes between light and dark, the one who distinguishes between what is light and what is right, and as the Torah is described as Or, and everything that is dark, everything that is not associated with the Torah. Bein Or L'cheshech. Bein Yisrael L'ami. The one who distinguishes between those who can be called a proper Jew, a Yisrael L'ami. There has to be a distinction. There has to be a clear, marked difference between those who consider themselves Yisrael and those who are the other nations. Yisrael represents the Kedusha, the holiness of our nation. The late Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva, Rav Nosson Machtweiger, blessed memory, said he had a tradition from the Maril Diskin, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim at the turn of the 20th century. He has a tradition from him that any Erlich Yid that is living at the times before Mashiach will be saved from the Chavle Mashiach. Any real Jew will be saved from the Chavle Mashiach. Because a real Jew will be indeed one who discusses with Ishel Re'eyu. A real Jew will discuss what can we do better. And a real Jew will be distinguished, will be distinct, will be a clear marked difference that he is a Jew. In a time, in the end of days, when it will be hard to distinguish oneself as a Jew, when one lives with this sense of Kedusha, a sense of holiness that a Yisrael should live with, if one can be recognized by Hashem as a Jew, one can be recognized by Hashem as this is Yisrael, then that Yisrael will be able to stand up and use that koyach, use that power against the enemy Yishmael. And the Kol Kol Yaakov will go against Esav, and the Kedusha of Yisrael will go against Yishmael. And that person will be described in this book. This book, which is a Sefer Zikaron, it's a book of remembrance, Lafanav, before Hashem. L'yirei Hashem, those that are indeed God-fearing, u'l'chayish v'shemayim.